As they struggle through what feel like incomprehensible proofs, many students wonder how necessary algebra will be in their future lives. In this country, 6 million high schoolers and 2 million college freshmen have so much difficulty with advanced algebra that some of them drop out of school because of the struggle. In an essay called Wrong Answer, Nicholson Baker wonders whether Algebra 2 needs to be an academic requirement at all. It's published in the latest issue of Harper's Magazine, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Nicholson Baker back to our show. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks. I'm very happy to be here.
Has algebra always been around, or was it actually invented at some point?
Well, I mean, it's a tremendous achievement of human ingenuity. It's a great thing. It was invented in, Baghdad long ago. And I start the piece by talking about one of the great algebraists of history, Girolamo Cardano, who wrote this thing called the Ars Magna, which codified and extended algebraic techniques, and that was a kind of masterpiece of Renaissance thinking.
Although the equation that you show us from that book doesn't look at all like the algebra that terrorized me when I was in high school and college.
Well, one of the crazy and wonderful things about math is how it's all the different and sometimes competing symbolic systems, and it seems like that's one of the real hurdles for kids, I think, is that we're still grasping the fact that 26 letters lead to words in the English language, and then suddenly letters also stand for these unknowns that can be manipulated according to mathematical algebraic rules, and it's hard.
You write that he was, de Cardona was not only a doctor, but also a compulsive gambler and a wearer of magical amulets. Do they provide any insight in how he came to write the Ars Magna, which is the name that he gave to what we now call algebra?
Well, he was interested in everything. He was a doctor, and he was just a brilliant guy who was also somewhat superstitious, and he was a gambler. He spent a lot of time. Back then, you gambled, you played chess for money, and he was addicted to that, and also cards. And that led him actually to write an early treatise on the mathematics of probability. So he's just a brilliant and very rational guy who, on the other hand, and this is what interests me, is that mathematicians are human beings. He also was kind of irrational about his own life.
Well, he called it Ars Magna, the great art. Where does the name algebra come from?
Well, algebra goes back to Baghdad, back to this Islamic mathematician Al-Khwarizmi. I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. Who wanted to figure out, according to popular books on the subject, and I'm not a mathematical historian, but who wanted to figure out how to divvy up people's estates. In the law of the time, if you had an estate, you gave a certain percentage or certain chunk of it to the eldest son and then a smaller chunk to the next son. And this, obviously, it would be nice to have a neat way of figuring out how to divide things up neatly among the people who come after you. So that's what he was doing, was trying to figure out how to pass on people's estates.
Now, geometry is the mathematical study of shape. Calculus is the study of change. Trigonometry focuses on triangles. Should they be equally difficult, or is algebra more difficult than the others?
Well, I think it depends on the person. A lot of people love geometry and hate algebra. There's some people who just can't stand geometry. I mean, I think the people who can't stand history, it's very much a question of individual preference and proficiency. And the nice thing would be if high school could accept the fact that there were differences between people and that the aim, after all, is just to lodge a few life-enriching nuggets of knowledge in students' heads so that they have they have some sense that there's a lot to know out there, I think. And some of it is mathematical. Some of it has to do with American history. Some of it has to do with reading humorous essays. You know, it's a mixed bag that we have, and high school should confront that.
And some kids are just better at math than others. But didn't Arne Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education, once give a speech about the importance of algebra for a successful career?
Well, right. So the thing that I was reacting to is the kind of deification, especially of a particular year of math in high school. Algebra 2, there was a study back in, I guess it was 2002, that found that there was a very high correlation between people who took and succeeded, passed Algebra 2, and those who made money and succeeded later in life. And if you think about it for a moment, that's not terribly surprising, because most colleges require Algebra 2 for admission, and people who graduate from college then have a higher income level. So it isn't, in fact, anything more than a statistical correlation. But people pounced on this and said, my God, Algebra 2, it's the mystic door. If we force every child to go through this particular door successfully, if we make them do it and make them succeed, then they'll all be above average and the world will be a better place.
And what happened in Chicago after he doubled the amount of algebra required?
Well, that was his first experiment. So there was a placement test, and people who did badly on the algebra, on the math placement test to going into ninth grade, which is Algebra 1, then were compelled to take double-dose algebra. So two periods back-to-back. And what the study found afterwards is that, yes, those kids did test a little bit better, but that overall failure rates went up because the very least talented algebraists were pulled out into these double dose classes, which meant that the somewhat slower kids became the really slow kids and were discouraged because the class marched along at a higher rate, and so failure rates went up. I mean, the strange thing is this desperate urge to have everybody pass through this particular turnstile, which is just it's not a good choice of turnstile for people to pass through.
And you mentioned that some schools require Algebra 2 for admission. Well, doesn't that lead to the exclusion of people who have strong skills in other areas like the arts, psychology, history, anthropology, et cetera, but don't do well in some math courses?
Well, of course. I mean, everybody who's had kids, everybody who's struggled himself or herself with, let's say, the GREs of course, there are lots of things you can do in life that don't use math. And I think we're rational creatures, and a lot of us can survive an algebra class. I certainly did fine in Algebra 2, but I did it by memorizing the techniques and then just simply spitting them back out on the test. I didn't really learn any math. But let's say you can't do that. Let's say it's just too hard to do that. Your whole life can be warped and made miserable by the fact that you have to take this class that you can't get over and over again. And this does happen to people. People who would be great nurses or any number of things, even inventors who have a knack, a kind of physical knack for the relations of objects to each other, but whose minds don't necessarily work algebraically, are excluded from higher education because of this requirement that's just a mistake.
Well, a lot of kids will ask, when will I ever be able to apply this in my future life? And teachers don't like that question. Isn't the argument for teaching advanced mathematics that it sharpens our minds and gives us intellectual discipline, that it improves our skills of reasoning, and that makes us better problem solvers in general, whether we're using math or not?
Well, I mean, you have to be careful because there is something we want people to be have some knowledge of what algebra is. In the piece that I wrote, I proposed a new sort of course that would have, let's say, 6 weeks of factoring and that kind of thing, so that people will understand what it means to that you can have X's and Y's, and you can do these neat things where you can factor and cancel things out. And even though you don't know what X is, you can still perform interesting virtuosic things with these equations. I think that's an interesting thing to know. But you can learn that without... The problem is then you're going forcing kids to pass that whole year of Algebra 1 and then take another year. And it's like you're forcing kids to master, let's say, you know, you just had somebody walk into an auto repair center and there was this glittering set of toolboxes, and there were, you know, there were Allen wrenches and all kinds of diagnostic things, and you taught them how to use all of these wrenches and ratchets and wonderful things, and they never actually got to do. And then you said, okay, now you're going to solve a problem with them, and then you gave them a, you know, kind of a Fisher plastic toy box and said, okay, go to work. I mean, the thing is that it's too much. You're asking people to have too much algebra, and they don't actually end up advanced in any logical. They don't end up being better logicians. They just end up being discouraged and bored, frankly, and some of them end up dropping out. So it is completely counterproductive.
My guest is Nicholson Baker, who has been a provocateur throughout his writing career, and his latest piece is Wrong Answer. It's in the current issue of Harper's Magazine. And it's interesting the response we're getting from our audience. Most of the people who are writing into our comment page are pro-algebra.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying things like, we need it, we can't keep dumbing down our school curriculum. John comments, ignorance powers too much in current society. Algebra needs to be kept to support basic high school science. Or why else do we need high school? And one other listener said we should teach the practical. Oh, well, that's a whole other thing. But then we have callers who, like this caller, who agree with you. And let's take this call from Allison from Manhattan. Hi, Allison. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I love your shows. I'm a huge fan. I have a 16-year-old kid, public school system, great high school. And, you know, I have this, I don't want to say argument, but, you know, one of my points to the principal was, why are we making these kids take 4 years of math, 4 years of science? You know, I am 50, and in my day, you know, you had a choice. And I took all years of language because I was a language kid, and that's what I loved. They did my minimum in math, my minimum in science, and I have a job, and I love languages, and that's my life. Why do we have to force kids to do math and science?
And what did the principal say?
These are the requirements. You know, it's the core curriculum. It's the new core curriculum crap. Excuse my language, but, you know, it just really, really drives me crazy.
Well, you should hear what Nicholson Baker writes about the core curriculum textbook, the Algebra 2 Common Core. He says, it's a dead scrap heap of repellent terminology, a collection of spiky, decontextualized, multi-step mathematical techniques. That's pretty negative, Nicholson.
Well, I mean, that passage you read refers to this textbook. I mean, I thought it was important to actually look at what people live with every day in classes. So I got the most modern Algebra 2 textbook I could find. It has a robotic gecko on the cover, and it's expensive, and it's very heavy, and students carry it around every day. And I looked at what people had to learn in that thing. And it is actually, I think that's a fair, it is spiky and decontextualized and frustrating, and not something. If you put yourself in the shoes of a math teacher, first of all, that person in front of the class, can you imagine what it's like to stand in front of the class and know that most of the people in that class hate being there? That's a terrible job. It's awful. What you want is for that math teacher to be standing in front of the class in which the people have actually chosen to be there, who want to be there. And so that's why I think Algebra 2 should be an elective, because and that the algebra teachers should be paid much more money. It's a valuable job. It's obviously crucial to modern society, math. It's just that it shouldn't be something that everybody has to pass or fail. It never was in the 20th century, and that was that's the other arm of my piece, is to take a look at history. And for most of the 20th century, not just Algebra 2, but Algebra 1 was optional. It was not a requirement. And what think of all of the great, brilliant discoveries, technological, business innovations, all sorts of things that happened in spite of the fact that required algebra was really not a force in the lives of most high school students.
Well, some educational researchers argue that education has to be engaging and entertaining to be justifiable. So I looked up a bunch of algebra jokes. They all were pretty corny, like this one. Why did the polynomial plant wilt? Because its roots were imaginary.
Well, I mean, why do you think we write jokes? We write jokes out of a certain a desire to tell the truth in an odd kind of startling way. And, thank goodness that math is there for us to joke about. I mean, I am in awe. I feel a kind of reverence towards people who actually have a gift for this. I always wanted to have some sort of mathematical instinct. I mean, I remember feeling very jealous of people who could do amazing things in their head mathematically, and I realized I just didn't have it.
Well, I remember being in a French class where I was doing drawings because I was an arts major, and the kid next to me was inventing quadratic equations to solve. Neither of us were learning much French, but that's a whole other matter. We have another caller, Melanie from Highland Park. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
I'm Leonard, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Leonard. I'm sorry. I was just writing something. Leonard, no, I love the show, and I'm curious about the guest's take on required Algebra 2 classes, because when I was thinking of studying math in high school, I was terrified of Algebra 2, and had it been a choice, had it been an elective, I would never have taken it. And part of the reason I was terrified was precisely because of the stereotype women are not good at math, math is hard, and I think that there are factors that influence decisions about courses that high school students take beyond just aptitude.
I think people should be urged to take or compelled to take, kids should be compelled to take some algebra. I mean, actually, it's more like Algebra 1 for a short amount of time so that you get a sense of what is out there and whether you have a head for it. But I think, although there are, I did not want to read Milton's Paradise Lost in college or Spencer's Fairy Queen. I was forced to read them. I guess in some way I was happy to have been forced to read them, but in some way it was just a huge waste of time. And there's a lot of compulsory kind of get through this course so that you will say later that you are happy to have taken it kind of stuff that goes on. We all want to have been through a sort of Outward Bound program where we did a hell of a hard thing. We rappelled through the canopy of the jungle, and therefore our children should too. And some of it I get, and some of it seems like a huge, not just a waste of time, but a real source of suffering in the lives of young people.
Now, we have two comments from teachers that take very different tacks. Lars in Williamsburg says, I teach statistics at the college level. Students use their algebra skills a lot there. Without it, I would have to teach them algebra. On the other hand, Daniel from Munich says that teaching math in New York City public schools to students who did not want to be there, it was his experience. I don't think this applies only to advanced algebra. We should require students to learn basic reading, writing, and arithmetic. Beyond that, we should let them choose the rest of their subjects as they wish.
Well, amen to that. I mean, really, just. Less is more. I think if you let's assume that you took some other art form. I'm interested in poetry. I like to read poetry. Let's say you thought it's terribly important for all high school kids to read tons of poetry. Not just read tons of poetry, but write it. Let's say the first year they learn, you know, the ballad stanza, and then they do some little iambic pentameter. Then you second year you get them going on villanelles, and the third year you learn internal rhyming. At some point, the vast majority of kids are going to say, I don't want to write any more poetry. I hate it, because it's not for them. So if high school could be a way of saying, here is the grand universe of human knowledge. There's so much out there. There's stuff about bridge building and about leaf patterns and about chair design and about history. All of those things are there, and we're going to give you some sense of forward motion and curiosity so that you know that it is actually fun to learn things. That's the goal of high school, and not because if you just insist that it's like some squishing some kind of cake decoration out of a pastry tube, it's not. People are going to forget it immediately.
We have a link to Nicholson Baker's article, the cover story in the current issue of Harper's Magazine, Wrong Answer, The Case Against Algebra 2. You can check it out on our show page at WNYC.org. Nicholson, thank you so much for being on our show again.
It's been a great pleasure, Leonard. Thank you.